can just have a word of prayer. Just be my word. Just before we turn to the scripture this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the song you have been singing. And Lord, may you just say, speak to us. Lord, not only speak to us, Lord, just put your word in our mouth, Lord. Lord Jesus, that we not be ourselves, but that we be different because of what you have done. In Jesus' name. And Lord, rid me from emotion and unbelief. And help me to speak, Lord, what you want me to speak. Lord, that we would be your servants. Lord, we have a great task, we believe, but also you're a great God. Lord, you haven't asked us to do anything that is impossible. We pray for your help this morning, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you'll be one of our number. You'll be pleased to visit with us, Lord. Lord, we claim that promise again that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are, right in the midst, Lord. Lord, just come and draw near to each soul here. Draw near to individuals here, Lord. And touch your people, Lord. And Lord, give us that liberty of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
yes, Lord.
We say amen.
Amen.
Amen this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't mean to be emotional. Forgive me for that. I want to turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 23, and a few verses here. I want to try to share with you this morning, and this is the last words of King David. Well, also it's a record of what took place, and it's about David's mighty man.
Amen.
And I want to read from verse 13 down to verse 17, including verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning the reading at verse 13. And bear with me, there's a word in here that I always pronounce it wrong. I just can't say it right. Or, well, anyway, you'll know the right pronunciation of it. And we're reading from verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. Now that's the word, I know I'm not saying it right. But you can know what it is there. Verse 14. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And verse 17, he gives the reason. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. You know, for a title this morning, I have written down Thirsting for God, a Drink of Living Water. Now, I want to look at David here and these three mighty men this morning for a while if I can. And first of all, I want to say that David had special ingredients. He had a special ingredient, let me say that. And he had a longing. He had a longing for a drink of water. Now I want to first of all talk about David's longing for a moment. What he longed for, and then that brings us to what stood between him and the blessing. Now David, first of all, you know this, and it's so simple. He said that he longed for and said. He had a great desire for the drink of water. He longed for it. He had a great desire. And he doesn't only long for this, he starts to testify. He starts to say what his desire is, what he's longing for. So, I want to say to you this morning, if you have a great desire for something, and you know his desire was for water. Now, the water in the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Speaks of the Spirit. We might come to that later. But also, water is a refresher, isn't it? And if someone's feeling a bit faint, sometimes the best thing you can do for them is give them a drink of water. But David longed for and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water." Now, it wasn't just any old water. He could relate to an experience that he had. And he described in detail where the water was to be got.
Amen.
And he said, the well in Bethlehem. And he didn't only just say the well in Bethlehem, but he said the well in Bethlehem, which is by the gates.
Amen.
Now there's detailed information where the source is. There's detailed information where the supply for this water comes from. Let me tell you, and you know without me telling you, there's only one place that you can get it. There's only one supplier.
Amen.
There's not several. There's only one source. There's only one place where you can get that water, and that's the water that David longed for. And I'm sure there was other wells in the vicinity. I'm sure there was more than one well in Bethlehem. There was wells probably outside it. There was wells in other places. But he longed for this water. He had a great desire for it. He longed for it. He didn't only long for it, he started to talk about it. You know what you need to do if you're longing for something from God? You need to start talking about it. You need to confess it. You need to make known that you've got a desire to have that. Now, he really expressed himself when he said, "Oh, that one would bring me a drink or give me a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem that is by the gate." So there we see, why did he say that? He said it first of all because he must have been thirsty. He said it because he could relate back to a time when he had had a drink. Let me tell you, if you can never relate back to an experience that you had with God, and if you've ever had an experience with God, it'll always stay with you. There's nobody living that can change your mind. There's nobody living that can tell you it didn't happen. There's nobody on earth can tell you that wasn't the case. If you have had an experience with God, you know you had an experience. You can relate to something that's life.
Amen.
Can relate to something that does you good. Something that refreshes you. Something for the inner man.
Amen.
You know, what are we longing for? What are we longing for? What do we want to see? What do we want to have? Do you want to have some of this water this morning? Are we satisfied? You see, David wasn't satisfied.
Amen.
David had had some before, but he wanted more.
Amen.
Oh God, give us more. And God, give us a hunger. And God, give us a thirst. Because David longed. He longed for it.
Amen.
This isn't just an idle thought. This was on this man for days. You know, he's got the right desire. His heart's in the right place. He's looking for something. He's looking for something that's good. He's looking for something that will refresh him. He's looking for something that will sustain him. He's looking for something that will carry him over. You know, I've written down here that there's two things stood between him and the blessing. Two things. That's the 2-4 plow this morning, Tommy. Just there's only 2-4s. Might change her to the 3-4 later, but listen, there's two things. I'm sure there's other things, but the two things I want you to notice here. One of them is, first of all, the enemy. You know what the second one was? Or if I have written it down, you could probably find others. The second one I've written down was his location. His location. Now, where was he? We're told where he was. He was in a cave. He's in a cave. You know what Jesus does? He brought a man out of the tombs. When he met the man at Gadara.
That's right.
The Bible says he was in the tombs day and night crying and cutting himself. But Jesus came walking up the road one day. And that man was brought out of the tomb. And he never went back into it.
Amen.
Jesus is in the business of delivering people that are in tombs. That are in caves. And here, do you know what else about King David? Now this is not his fault. And it's maybe not your fault. Or it's maybe not my fault. This was harvest time. Now that's the season. That's the season. That's not the location. The location was the tomb. And what else? What else are we told about his location? We're told that he was in a hole. You know, I should be writing this down on that board over there. He was in a hole. I'm so close to this I can't see it. And David was in a hole. These three many men came unto the cave of Adullam and came to David in harvest time. When is harvest time? Harvest time is every day. Spiritual harvest time is Monday through to Sunday. Sunday through to Monday. It's not only on a Sunday. It's on a Monday. It's on a Tuesday. It's on a Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day is harvest time. Every day, every week, every month, and every year is harvest time.
Amen.
Harvest time. Now that's the season. You know what? David's in a hole. What does it mean to be in a hold? Holding pen. You have to have a holding pen if you're a farmer. What happens when you get in the holding pen? You can't get out. You are restricted. You're restricted in a holding pen. You're not at liberty. No liberty. You can't go and come when you want. When you're in a holding pen, you have to stay. You're grounded. Grounded. Grounded in harvest time.
Yes, amen.
Grounded in harvest time. You know, David's in a hole and he can't get out of it. You know what I've written down here? You know what happens to you when you get in the cave? You go off the radar. You're not even on the radar when you're in a cave. You know, when years ago when people died, they put them in caves. Put them in the tomb when they're dead. You know, there was a man of God went into the tomb, but God didn't bring him out of it. He said,
amen.
Elijah, what thou doest here?
Amen.
Oh, get out of the tomb. Get out. You see, radar can't pick you up. When you're in that cave, when you're in there, you're nowhere to be seen. You're nowhere. You know what else? Do you know what else I've written down? I've written it down here. See, whenever you're in the hole, you're going nowhere. I have all the bad news. I have all the bad news, but Jesus is all the good news.
Amen.
Listen, David was going nowhere. But he's got something. He's got a longing. And he's got a desire. And he started talking about it. I tell you, he's halfway there. When you get the desire and you start to talk about it, you're halfway there. You're halfway to that miracle. You're halfway there. And see, you see, who wants to keep you in the holding pen? Who was keeping David here? His enemies. His enemies. The enemy. The enemy wants us as a church to get into a holding pen where we're going nowhere. When you're going nowhere, nothing's happening. You say if I hear somebody. But listen to the facts. Now, there is a place where the water is flowing free.
Amen.
There's still the water. The well hasn't run dry. The well hasn't run dry. The source hasn't changed. The place where it's found is still the same. You know what? Still available. Still available. Even though the enemy has you surrounded, maybe you're hemmed in, you're in a holding place, you can't move, and you're as a prisoner. You know that one of the worst places to be a prisoner is in your own church. That's the worst place that you can be a prisoner. In your own church, in your own fellowship. But now, you could be worse. You could not even be in the church. You could be a prisoner somewhere else. But God doesn't want you to be a prisoner in your own church. God doesn't want you to be a prisoner anywhere. God doesn't want you to be in a holding pen. And you know what I've written down about the holding pen? The danger of staying in the holding pen too long. What happens to you? What happens to you if you stay in it too long? You begin to think that that's the normal.
Right.
You stay in it too long, you begin to think that's the normal. That's what's... Well, I don't want the normal. I want the supernatural. I want the supernatural. I want the power of God. I want God to visit with me. I want the drink of water.
Amen.
I'm looking the living water. You know, the world has a saying, Coca-Cola is the real thing. It is not. This here that David talked about, that's the real thing. The living water is the real thing.
Amen.
The living water is the real thing. The Holy Ghost is the real thing.
Amen.
The power of God is the real thing. There's no substitute for it. There is nothing that can replace it in heaven or in earth or in hell. Nowhere.
Amen.
Nothing to replace this. This is the real thing.
Amen.
See, but getting back to this holding pen. If you stay in it too long, you think it's the norm. You start to be satisfied. You start to relax. You start to think, oh, well, that's normal. If you're a Christian, it's not normal to be in a holding pen.
Right.
I tell you, holding pens is not made for Christians. And here's David, and he's longing. And he's not only longing, but he's expressing his desire. And he's saying, oh, that one would bring me drink of water from the well in Bethlehem that is by the gate. Oh, I tell you. But you see, he's in a hold. He's become a prisoner. And see, when he goes in the cave, he's nowhere to be seen. And you know, if he's surrounded by the enemy, he's hemmed in on every side. But while he's content to be there, and while he's content to stay there, he has never any confrontation with the devil, or with the enemy. He never confronts the enemy. He doesn't confront him. He has let down his guard. God help us never to let down our guard. God help us never to be content with what we have and where we are. And in harvest time, and I believe it's still harvest time. I believe we're still in the harvest time. And I believe the enemy wants to keep us somewhere where we can do nothing. Keep us somewhere where we can do nothing. You know, they're talking about Brexit. Everybody's talking about Brexit, 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 Brexit. You think to hear them it was the end of the world, Brexit. And how are we going to live after Brexit? And you know, I'm going to tell you something. When California goes into the sea, Brexit is going to look like a storm in a teacup. It's going to look like nothing. When California goes into the sea, I don't intend to be here. I tend to be out of here. But I tell you, I believe she's going to go into the sea.
Amen.
And whenever she goes into the sea, that man that had the dream and saw it, and you can go on YouTube and you can look it up, and if you put in the title, "This is California, we are slipping into the sea, we are going into the sea," you'll get it on YouTube, and you can listen to it. And he says that the churches all over the world are full. But it's going to be too late. They're full. England's going to be flooded. You know that? Brother Brown talked about that, didn't he?
Amen.
You know, on the news there, this has nothing to do with it maybe, but listen. On the news there, about a fortnight ago, they were having them awards for Hollywood. And they've done a great film, they've done a great picture, and there's a man there, and I don't know who, I can't remember if he was acting that other madman, the rock star, but this man was acting him. And he stood up when he got an award, and he said, listen to what he said, I have to thank Satan For he inspired me. And he got a great applause. He got an applause for saying I have to thank Satan because he inspired me. He did inspire him. He wasn't telling any lies.
Right.
The Holy Ghost didn't inspire
him. Amen.
We're at the end time. We know that. I believe also we're still in the harvest time. And some people say the harvest is over. Well, what about the gleanings? What about the gleanings? I tell you, the devil wants to come down, put you in a holding place, and he wants you not to be seen.
Right.
He wants you not to be seen, and he wants you not to be heard.
Amen.
He doesn't want ever to hear your voice. He doesn't want ever to hear your opinion. He doesn't want to give you a drink of water. He wants to make you dry. And he wants to keep you dry. And he wants you to go away somewhere and hide. You know, if that happens, you'll never fulfill the purpose that God has planned for you. I believe that. You'll miss out. You'll miss out on what the Lord has set out for you to be. Now, David wasn't always in the hold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a coming out.
Amen.
There's a coming out. But we need to be careful that we don't tarry too long. And you know, I said that while you're in the hold, you see, there's no confrontation with the enemy. And if you never have any confrontation with the enemy, then the enemy's not bothered. So in other words, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say if you're in a hold and if you're not at liberty and you can't, there's no freedom, or you can't move in the Holy Ghost, or you're just somewhere where you can't get the water, where you seem to be cut off from it, the devil doesn't care as long as you stay there. He's happy. He's happy. He's not bothered. His kingdom is not disturbed one bit. None effective against him. None effective against the enemy. See how easy it is to become non effective. Non effective, I should say. See, the enemy doesn't care. Let me say this to you. The enemy's happy when you don't pray. The enemy's happy when you miss church. I believe that. When you miss the prayer meeting, he's happy. The enemy's happy when you're not on your knees. The enemy's happy when you're not seeking God. The enemy's even more happy when you don't have any burning desire or any longing for the water. He's happy. But you start to get the hunger on you. Now, if the hunger's on you, you start talking about it.
Amen.
If you've got the longing, you'll start saying what you have. Out of the bones of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
Now, we need to have a longing because we're made to be inhabited. Now, Paul said, "Know ye not, ye are the temple."
Amen.
The temple of the living God.
Amen.
Now, these were three mighty men that came down to King David. Oh boy. God always provides a way of escape.
Amen.
And these three mighty men came down to David. And they hear him talking. They must have. They got the picture. These three men got the message, if you want to say it. They got the message, and they got the right one. They didn't get the wrong message. They had the message. And the message was, get the water.
Amen.
The message was, get the Holy Ghost. The message was, get the power of God. The message was, listen to this, get the anointing that destroys the yoke. And I mean destroy. Get the power of God. Get the real thing. Get the water. Go to the place. Now listen. These men was in the same location. They were in the right there beside King David. And I believe they could identify with what he talked about. There may have been other men there who never had the experience. There may have been other men there who never got a drink of this water, and they didn't really know what David was talking about, and they didn't really have any desire to get it or go for it. But these three men, something inspired them, and I'm going to tell you, it wasn't Satan. I believe it was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you know what? They weren't impounded. You know what's meant to be impounded? You're in the pound. You know, a policeman's dad was talking to me the other day, and he told me about a man who had an A5 body, and not an A5 end. You've been there, or you had an A6 and a 4. Fancy motor. And the man who owned her got stoned, and the police recovered it, and they put it in a pound. And the police contacted the original owner and said, your car is in the pound, you need to go down and bring it out. And when he went down to bring it out, what happened? What had happened? The thieves had came back and stole it out of the pound. Stole it the second time. They weren't restricted. You know, don't let the devil put restrictions on you. But there's these three men, and they're not restricted with the holes. And what do? The Bible says the breakthrough. The breakthrough the hosts of the Philistines.
Amen.
And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. So these three men break, they're not restricted. Now, they didn't start to listen to the men that was in the hole. They didn't start to listen to anybody saying, look, there's a curfew on here. And you have to be in this cave, or you have to be here at a certain time, and you're not allowed to go beyond that boundary.
Amen.
Because if they had started to listen to that, they never would have went nowhere.
Right.
You know what evangelist Reinhard Bonnke said, and I'm going to say this morning to you, and I want you to listen. This is what he said. He said that Jesus will not sit with sinners, but he goes with goers.
Yeah.
Jesus will not sit with sinners, but he goes with goers. In other words, you can sit in church till you're an old man. Mm-hmm. An old man, old man, and you're in the hole, and there's nothing happening, and you're not going anywhere, or there's nothing taking place, and you don't expect the supernatural. You're told that maybe the gifts is on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
All nonsense. But this man said, Jesus goes with goers. Get out there. I'm compelling you to go. I'm compelling you not to sit down and fold your arms. I'm compelling you to get up and go and do something for the Lord. And Jesus goes with me, I believe.
Amen.
Goes with goers. Now you may say, John, I can't do that. But listen, you can pray. And this here breakthrough represents a breakthrough. It represents a breakthrough in the prayer meeting. It represents a breakthrough in your life. Listen, if we get ourselves into a hole, what do we need to bring us out of it? We need a breakthrough. A breakthrough. You know, if we can get a breakthrough, we'll have a revival.
Amen.
We'll have a revival. Some people said, you know, we don't hear it as much now as we used to hear it. The revival's here now, but this is the revival. This is not revival. I'm sorry.
Amen.
This is not revival. If this is revival, it's not worth talking about. And I say that reverently. We need a revival.
Yes.
We need a revival. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you hearing me? We need a revival.
Yes.
We need a breakthrough. I believe that.
Yes.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We have become content. When you become content, you sit down and you fold your arms. You know, the Lord never said, David, I don't want you to have this stuff. The Lord never said, David, I don't want you to have it. It's available. So these three men had a breakthrough. And you know something? I've written down three things here and I need to keep moving on. I've written down three things that these men had. Now the three mighty men. Yes, I know the three mighty men. The Bible says that you're mighty. It says that. I'm going to come to it. Listen to the three things that these three men had. They had power. They had demonstration. And they had manifestation. Now you will not have any demonstration or you will not have any manifestation outside of the power. First of all, you need the power. First of all, you need the living water. First of all, you need the anointing. First of all, you need the power of God coming on you. You need a baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need a baptism of fire. You need the power of God to come on you. And Jesus said it in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
All over the world the Spirit is moving. God wants you to have power. You'll not have any manifestation. You'll not have any demonstration if you don't have power. You'll have a man-made fiasco. You only have something from man. You have nothing from God. We don't have time to waste our time. We need the real thing.
Amen.
We need the moving of the Holy Spirit among us.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. What about these three mighty men? You say, John, they were three mighty men. What did Paul say about you and what did he say about me? I'll tell you what he said in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. He said, though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For he says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, you mightn't be mighty, you mightn't feel mighty, but you have power. You're mighty through God this morning or this afternoon, whatever time it is. You're mighty through God.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
You're mighty. Don't say you can't do it. You know, there was a host, there was a garrison of the Philistines in Bethlehem. And three men go in and take the water and bring it out. That's a miracle. Three mighty men. You know, if they had sat at home, if they had sat in the hold, there would have been no water. The enemy never would have had a confrontation. The enemy would have been allowed to do as well. The enemy would have had a free course. He'd have had a free run. You know what the enemy wants from us? A free run. You know what we ought to do? We ought to be on our knees. We ought to be in the prayer meeting. We ought to be disturbing him. We ought to be blocking him. Instead of him blocking us, we ought to be blocking him.
Amen.
We ought to punch him. We ought to hit him with the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
You see, when Paul came to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1, he said he came in weakness and in much trembling and in fear, and his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what he said? You know what else he said? Verse 1, going down to verse 5. Go, bring us all the verses down to verse 5. But you know what else that Paul said? He said he didn't have wisdom of man. Or he didn't come speaking with the wisdom of man, but with the power of God. And he gives a reason for that in verse 5, I think it is. You know what he said? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
The power of God. There, can you see that? Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
That's the greatest experience you can have, is the power of God. It's the greatest experience that you can have. You know what's wrong today? People are seeking wisdom. Wisdom's useful. They're seeking knowledge. That's useful. But when you meet the devil, wisdom and knowledge, he has it too. You meet him with the power of God, see what he does. You have the betting something. You have the betting something when you have the power of God on you. You have the betting for Satan. You have the betting of the host of the Philistines when you've got the power. I tell you, we need it. We need this. We need this water. Don't ever take a substitute. Don't ever take something that's near like it. Don't ever settle for something that's top water. Now, I'm glad of this. This is probably top water. I'm glad of it. But listen, don't ever accept a substitute for the real thing. Yeah. And don't ever let on you've got the real thing and you know in your heart you haven't. Ask God for it. What did the children say this morning? Said, seek and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be open unto you. Boy, I'm telling you, God wants to. I believe God wants to visit us.
Yes.
The time's flying through, isn't it? The time's going. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy, and you needn't turn to these, brother, just to save time, but Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 18, and he said that he wanted him to war a good warfare because of the prophecies that went on him. You're meant to be a warrior. You're meant to be a warrior for Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, you're meant to be a warrior for Christ. And Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18, and he says that thou wouldst war a good warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, any man that warreth entangleth himself not with the affairs of this life, that he might be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he also goes on to say that the husbandman must be partaker of the fruit. In other words, if you're talking about the water, you have to know what you're talking about. You've had to have a drink yourself. But if you think you've never had a drink, ask God and he'll give you one.
Amen.
Oh, if you're thirsty and dry, turn your eyes to the sky.
Amen.
It's beginning to rain.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm not here to tell you you're not mighty. I'm not here to tell you you can't get this water. I'm here to tell you you are mighty. And I'm here to tell you that the water is available and it's for you. Anybody can tell you you're down, but it takes a good man to tell you, no, you're not, you're up. Anybody can tell you you're out, but it takes a man to tell you, no, you're not, you're in. Anybody can tell you you're in the holding pen, you're going nowhere, but it takes the Spirit of the Lord to tell you, I'm setting you free right now. Bringing you out of that holding pen. See, when you're in the holding pen, you're not yourself. You're not yourself. When you're in the holding pen, you're not yourself. But let me say this, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you're not yourself either. Hallelujah. Yeah. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came on Saul, King Saul. And David said to him, whenever these things happen, begin to happen to you, do as occasion will serve you. For he says, you'll be turned into another man. And he met a group of the prophets coming down, the sons of the prophets, and he starts to prophesy with them. Mm-hmm. Tell you. Have to keep moving. You know what Stephen said about Moses? Now, we know Moses was a prophet, but in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, Stephen's talking about Moses and he's giving a testimony. And you know what he says? He says two things about Moses. He says Moses was mighty in word and in deeds. Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. God wants us to be mighty. I believe that. Now these three men that broke through the host of the Philistines. I have to come to the close. I've no watch on me. I don't know what time it is. It's the 12:15. We have plenty of time. I'm going to say that again. The Lord has plenty of time to touch you. There's plenty of time to give you a drink. You know, there's no good coming here to tell you you're in a holding pen or the enemy's surrounding you. These men broke through. I want to come to the close here, and I'm coming to the close soon. They broke through the host of the Philistines. The holding pen was not effective against them. It had no power over them. It broke through. They went right to the spot. They went right to that well. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe they got a drink when they were there. They got a drink of that water. And they filled the pitcher, or they filled whatever it was, they brought it back. And they brought back enough for David. And they brought back, I believe they brought him back more than what would have given him one drink. He didn't just bring him a sip. They brought him probably a gallon or 2 gallons. They brought him plenty. Believe that. Now listen. They brought this water that he talked about. They brought it back. The genuine article. The original. That's the real. This is the real stuff. This is what David longed for. This is the real thing. This is not something that's concocted. This is something that comes from the spring, I believe, a well of water springing up. This is what these three men brought with them. I tell you, you could listen to these men preach. And when they preached, they didn't preach a question. They preached living water. I believe that. They preached the anointing. They preached the power of God. They preached, what did Paul say? He says, I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But to bring it back, to bring this water back to King David. And I'm coming to a close, but listen, I've written down some things here about the water and what happened. What was David's reaction to the water? Now, this was the water, and you know, Jesus spoke about water in John's Gospel, chapter 7, and verses 37 and 38. And he's talking about that last day of the feast, and he stood up. And if you want to turn to that, Matthew, John's Gospel, I'm sorry, I'm putting you through a lot of maneuvering about this morning. But listen, this is what the water represents. And that last, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now you don't need to go to the well of Bethlehem beside the gate. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. Now he's the Holy Ghost baptizer. Jesus is Amen. The Holy Ghost baptizer.
Amen.
He's the one that John the Baptist said would baptize you with the Holy Amen. Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Now, this is what he said. He said, "If any man thirsting." Now, if you're not thirsty, don't bother. You can't drink if you're not thirsty. And Jesus gives you an invite, but if you are, if you're thirsting, he's inviting you to come. He's asking you to come if you're thirsting. And verse 38 says, "He that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." So it's not just one time, it's all the time. It's not just one day, it's every day. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So there's enough to go round. It's not scarce. You know, God's anointing is not scarce. The power of God is not scarce if you want it. It's available. These things are available. Now, what do you think the Lord wanted David to do with the water? Now listen, just before I go there, we can go there. What do you think the Lord wanted David to do with the water? You see, when I used to read this here, I used to say, "Boy, David is a strange man, he never even drank the water." I used to say to myself, "David, you're guilty by nearly. You should have drank that." But the Bible says he didn't drink it, he poured it out onto the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when I look at it today, I say he'd done the best thing with it that he could do. He poured it out onto the Lord. And see, the Lord gave it in the first place, and he gave it back to him. The Lord gave you your life, we ought to give back
Amen.
Our life.
Amen.
Not right? The Lord gave his time, we ought to give our time. The Lord done more. You know it without me telling you. David didn't drink the water. They brought the water to David. If you can go back there, thanks. Go back there. Three men and they brought the water to David. Go to the next verse, Matthew 17. This is David's reaction when he's longing for this water, and here's the water brought to him, and this is his reaction. And he's, you know what, but
verse 16,
Matthew. No, it's alright. This is maybe alright. And this is what David said. And he's not talking to man here. He's talking to the Lord. Why? He wasn't confused. He wasn't out of his mind. No, he was talking to God. He was talking to the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it." He wouldn't drink it. Why would he not drink it? He told us why. He said, "Is not this the blood of the three men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" These three men wanted to get a breakthrough. They didn't care if they lived or died. They weren't living for themselves. Who are we living for? I want to ask you this morning or this afternoon, who are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for the Lord? Who are you living for? These three men wasn't living for themselves, I can tell you that. But David wouldn't drink the water. Why would he not drink the water? He said, they went in jeopardy of their life, but he said something else in detail. He said, is not this the blood? Let me tell you something. There's no gospel. Listen to this. There's no gospel. There's no deliverance ministry. There's no healing. There's no salvation. There's no gifts of the Spirit outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take the blood away and you have got nothing. We need the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's the blood of the New Testament. This is that which I received of the Lord the same night in which he was betrayed. He took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And after the same manner also, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. And he goes on to say, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so the Lord's day till he come.
Yes, amen.
Give me the blood. No blood, no water. No blood, no fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from among the veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty sins. Not a one. Not a one. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's the gospel here. There's the gospel in this text. Once you bring the blood into it, you bring the gospel into it. Once you bring the water into it, you bring the Holy Ghost into it. What kind of a gospel do we need? We need a blood-washed gospel, Holy Ghost fire-filled gospel. What kind of a gospel will bring you out of the hole? What kind of a gospel will bring deliverance? I tell you, it's a blood gospel. It's a Holy Ghost gospel. See any other gospel? Know what it is? It's only a lecture. You could get a Catholic priest to learn it. I'm trying to lose a button on my shirt, and the shirt collar's too big for me. It's a habit. David wouldn't drink it. What did he do with it? He poured it out unto the Lord. Don't you think it was wasted?
Amen.
God accepted it.
Amen.
You see, when the Holy Ghost comes on you and you do something, God will accept it. I tell you, he's able to give you a drink. He's able. Why is he able? Why are you entitled to this water? Let me say that. Now David got the water, but he felt that he wasn't entitled to take it. He felt he didn't have the entitlement to take that water and actually drink it. He felt guilty about drinking it. He wasn't going to drink it. He says, be it far from me, O Lord. He wasn't talking to the men that brought it. No. It was no insult to them, let me say that. Let me say this, when he poured it out unto the Lord, it was no insult to these men.
Amen.
But he said, is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? And no Jew, and no Christian should ever drink blood or eat blood or anything to do with blood. No. Why? Because the life is in the blood.
Amen.
So if you kill an animal and eat him and eat his blood, you didn't only eat the animal, you eat the life that was in him. And God says you're not to do that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You know without me telling you, there's a man set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood. And when he hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. He said, it's finished. It's over. He said to the disciples before that, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But I will not leave you comfortless. If I go, I will send them unto you. So the Lord has promised him to send us the Holy Ghost. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, it comes on you because Jesus shed his blood and he paid the price for your sin. What does that tell you? What does that tell you, and what does it tell me? It tells me that you're a candidate. It tells me I'm a candidate. It tells me that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb and I have right to the tree of life. I have right to drink of that water because of what Jesus done on a place called Calvary. You know, I want to inspire you to have the water. I want to inspire you to join with all us who pray. And if you think you're in the hole, ask God for a breakthrough.
Amen.
Ask him for a breakthrough. And ask him for water. You know, it's time to go, Tommy, almost, is it? What past? Half past. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus if we can. Maybe our sister Alva will come. Praise the Lord. You know, not to sing that wee chorus. Fill my cup, Lord.
Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up. Make me whole. You know, we're still in harvest time.
Amen.
This is harvest time. Time for us to do something. Time for something to happen. Don't let unbelief stand in your way. Don't let enemy stand in your way. You know, you might say, well, John, I got a drink years ago. Well, I got one too, but I need another one. I got a drink not long ago, but I want another one.
Amen.
I want more. More. God sees our hearts. I believe he sees our hearts and he wants us to ask him. You know, whenever time California goes into the sea, if you're still here and I'm still here, we don't know if we will be, but if we are, it's going to be too late then to pray. Brother Brown said the bride would be gone, but believe that. She'll be took away. What about all the people that's left behind? That man had a vision or a dream, and he dreamed the dream, and he woke up, and when he went back to sleep again, the dream continued on. And he done that several times, and he saw the dream, and he saw the clock, and when he saw the clock on the wall, it was 4:10. And at the end of the dream, the clock on the wall, it was 4:30, it was 4:30. And there was a woman walking on the street and two children with her, and they looked like twins, and he wanted to talk to her, but he was there and he saw her, but she couldn't see him. And you know what else he saw? He saw the names on the sidewalk down in Hollywood, California. He saw the stars on the footpath, and he knew some of them, but there's other names he didn't know. And he said the women had a walk, and they weren't dressed proper. And he said he tried to do the walk, and you know, they were just walking along this modern woman. I can't get it. He tried it. You know, years ago the women dressed different.
That's right.
Covered themselves up. and they let their hair grow. They had a glory on them.
Amen.
They had a glory on them when you looked at them. You could say, that's a woman of God. A man, a stranger, I met him at Dalmore Show, and he came to my house, and he said he saw a woman on when he was coming past, and he said, that woman's a Christian. And I said, how do you know she's a Christian? He said, I saw her. I saw the way she was dressed, and I saw her long hair. That's what he said. You know that man going back to California, he said that the houses started to fall over, and they were falling over, they were leaning over because the ground was coming up and they were going into the sea. And he said the man stayed on the radio station, or he could have stayed on the mobile phone, or he could have stayed on Facebook, he could have stayed on the television, he could have stayed, a radio station, and he kept saying, this is California, we are going into the sea. This is California, we are going into the sea. But the man looked for the woman, and it was 4:30, and he looked for her, and he couldn't find her. And he wondered what had become of her. Barry Smith said, there's no atheists in an earthquake. No atheists in the earthquake. All of a sudden, everybody believes in God. You know that man that had the dream? I'm not saying it's thus saith the Lord, but I tell you something that's close to what Brother Branham said. I believe God allowed him to see this. And he told them things about earthquakes. He was 17 years old when he fell off his horse, and he suffered concussion. And he told them people things about earthquakes, and they looked at him and said, how does he know this? He's only 17. Where did he learn this? He saw it all in the dream. You look it up, get YouTube, and you look up California going into the sea. Brother Branham said to a man once, he says, you'll not be an old man when the sharks swim through here. I believe it's going to happen. Now, we see prophecy being fulfilled. But what are we doing? You might say, oh, John, get up and start going forth. Get up and start moving. When Moses come down to the Red Sea, the people started mourning and yearning much, crying much, and the Lord, Moses started to cry unto the Lord. And what the Lord said to Moses? He said, why cry, speak? He said, go forward. Don't let them hem you in. Don't let them Philistines hem you in. Say, boy, it's not for you. This is not for you. It is for you. God has promised it for you. Amen. I'm stopping. You ask the Lord now where we sing this. And while we sing this, you believe God. And you say, Lord, I need a drink of this water. And I believe He'll give it to you. You have faith in God. You believe God for something this morning. You expect the power of God and a demonstration and a manifestation of His power. Praise the Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. I'm only going to sing it once now. I'm going to go there and sit down. Praise the Lord. Let us, if we can sing it in an attitude of worship. Oh, that God would do something. Fill cups to full and overflow.
Amen.
You know, the Lord wants you to have this water. And it's your entitlement. You're entitled to it. It's yours. Just receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up.
Keep this attitude on. Let's sing it again. Praise God. We just thank the Lord for the message this morning. You know, I was thinking when a brother John said about revival. I was reading this morning of different readings in my phone and different books and apps. But I put this wee thing on. So wee fella was preaching. He's about six. And the Spirit of God started to fall on him, 6 years of age. And he went back and forth in front of the church. 6 years of age. I know some people don't believe in any of that, but that makes no difference. The Bible says, by the mouth of babes,
yes,
God's perfected praise.
Amen.
Child shall lead them. It's another scripture. Mm-hmm. But he said, God's going to send a red hot Pentecostal revival. And his own father said, I don't know where he got the words from. Red hot. Says, I've never ever used them words myself. I don't know where he got them. But that's what we need.
Yes.
We need a red hot Pentecostal revival.
Yes.
But you had to be hungry. You need to be hungry. I know people, I go to the gym, I try and keep fit, I train, but there's people that they're hungry in sports. And they will not miss one session in the gym. Some of them train 6 times a week. There's people hungry in other sports, cycling, different things. But anybody that's ever going to reach the top has to have a hunger. Reach the top. There has to be an effort made. And I believe it's the same as Christians. Even in their singing. Oh, what in their cups filled. Fill my cup, Lord. Who wants your cup filled? Tell the Lord you want your cup filled. Don't want some sort of a half-empty cup. God can fill our cups. But we need to tell. That's for the message this morning. Tell the Lord. 3 men went through. They broke through. They didn't just walk through.
No.
They broke through.
Yes. Amen.
There was hundreds in front of them, but they broke through. But they got the victory. God wants us to press in, and He's going to give us the victory. I'm going to go and sit down. Brother Gary's going to come because your brother John's already preached, and I don't want to start preaching. But I tell you, God wants us to get real, because He's real. And He wants us to be real. And when the deep calleth to the deep, the noise of the water spouts, there's a response. When we thirst for God, there's a response. God will do something. God will do something. Who wants God to do something for you? Tell the Lord. Let's sing it again. And our brother's going to come. I'm going to sit down. Listen, we're going to have communion service tonight. But here's what happens. I'm pastoring this meeting for over 20 years. Here's what happens. I'm going to tell you all that. When I was in this church for 20 years, we're having communion. At least 30% stay at home. I don't know why. Every pastor tells me the same. They say when we announce communion, sometimes near half the church stays at home. That's the devil. Do you know when there's a communion service, you should run to it. We're coming here to remember Jesus. The man that died on the cross for us and shed his blood for us. We're coming to remember him tonight. We're going to come tonight and remember the Lord. You take an opportunity to come tonight. And I tell you, come along, bring the children. There's downstairs and everything's here. Let's come tonight and remember the Lord. Let's get real with God. What's your New Year's motivation? Let's sing this song this morning and let's come tonight. And I'm not telling you off for anything, but I want us to be real with God. You know, there's people in this room gifted, but you're mocking about it. I'm going to be honest with you, playing games. God doesn't want no more games. I'm telling you, let's get serious with God. I tell you, this is true what our brother said this morning. William Branham said, he prophesied. California's gone under the ocean. I was in California. I preached in it. Sin City. God's prophet said, because they've took the name of the angels, God will sink her. But what about the people that's left? What about the people here that we say, we send the messages, we love them. How many times do we invite them to church to hear the gospel? How many times we send wee messages to so you? This one, that one. Do we really love them? See, if we love them, we'll try and get them saved. Amen. Let's tell the Lord this morning. The brother's going to come, because I've probably said too much. But I want you all to come tonight. Don't visit granny or grandpapa tonight or auntie or uncle. Come to church. Bring them with you and get them. Bring them in here tonight. Sunday nights for a gospel service. Let's start this year like that. Let's start the night with a new vision. I believe the Lord spoke on this morning. Try and get somebody into this meeting tonight. And let's see if God still saves. I believe he does. God bless you. As your brother comes, let's sing this.